Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
Minnesota
42.
Why do we keep doing it like this?
Because it's been routine, baby. You. Maybe I'll stop at episode 200. Maybe at episode 200.
Start up a new gimmick.
Stop now.
No, welcome back, Jesse. We missed you.
Hey, by the way, being gone in London, living my life, went to Belgium. It was great. Good times. I will say, while I was there, just putting it out there, it might not be your thing. It might be. Saw a play called 222. And it is a ghost story with legit jump scares. Oh. It is a horror-ish play. Super fun. It may not be everyone's cup of tea, but super fun. Literally,
if you're
it's
in
about,
Belgium, check it out.
Basically, it is a husband and wife have a newborn child, and at 2:22 a.m. every night, they hear the wife hears footsteps in the kid's room. And one night she goes in there and she hears them, but there's nothing in there with her. The husband, while he's a scientist, he's a very Jesse character, and he is like, you're just hearing things. It could be the baby monitor is picking up weird things. Don't worry about it. And so what ends up happening at the start of the play is that the wife is exacerbated with the husband, who will not listen to her. And two of their friends come over, and when they tell the story to the friends are like, oh my God, we have to stay up till 2:22 and see what happens. And that's the play. It is
Hell yeah.
a real
that's
treat.
Cool sounding.
It's fascinating. I don't
want
to
spoil
anything.
Sounds like a 1 hour long video game.
Yeah.
Man.
Solid right. in London. Very cute.
I've been
anyway,
saving all this
yeah,
for you,
that's
Jesse.
That's kind of shit I was up to.
Well, I'm about to bring it back to Earth. Time to talk about aliens a little bit. It's been a couple weeks since we've spoken about it, though we've obviously been keeping up on our text about
Has
this.
Been a couple weeks.
Well, we talked about it with Davis last week, but not with Jesse. Yeah. We haven't really talked about it in depth as to what's about to happen. And it's fascinating because a lot of what's about to happen falls directly in the timeline that we were told in, oh God, 2 or 3 months ago now that I brought to you. I even said, I think the date was like the 25th or the 26th that's been being whispered.
Yeah.
And it came out yesterday that congressional public hearing is happening on July 26th. Grush will be there along with a bunch of others. And it's going to be, there's going to be a public portion like before. And of course there's going to be a private portion.
1 week from tomorrow. Exciting.
On top of that, we also have a bill in Congress being put forward about trying just like they have 6 months to divulge all their shit, whatever they're hiding. And then the Senate with Schumer and a few others put forward their own disclosure act that that Schumer says was modeled after the disclosure act of the JFK stuff. He modeled it at the same stuff. That got voted on today and passed 73 to 25. So it was a huge swath of people approve of it. And the congressional one got a letter from the Pentagon yesterday with their suggested amendments, which I texted to you. You can actually just read what their suggested amendments are. But for those who don't have that, I'm going to go ahead and read their suggested amendments to this bill. This is for the amendments to Rules Committee, print 118-11. At the end of Title 8, which is the end of the bill proposed, the Pentagon suggests adding the following. On Section 1, report on unknown objects in flight. In general, the administrator of the flight of the FAA shall issue a non-classified report about occurrences in which commercial pilots spot or otherwise visually witness unknown objects in flight and address whether unidentified aerial object encounters have ever disrupted, interfered, or interacted with the flight instruments. It's fine. Then Part B, that was Section A, Section B. In the report issued under subsection A, the administrator shall include any documents from commercial industry with respect to the observations described in such subsection, including documents relating to specific instances in firsthand witness accounts. And the last part, which is part C, which is involvement of other agencies. This is the part that's a problem. No other federal agency may be involved in issuing the report required under this section. They make themselves immune from their own shit.
So they're just like, by the way, never mind.
Yeah, this literally was like, and you can't look at our stuff, which is the point of the bill, is to get what government programs that we have under the Pentagon being funded out, because they're being funded by taxpayer dollars if they're there. And B, if private companies like Raytheon, Lockheed Martin have anything, it's also they have 6 months to come forward with what they have. And the Pentagon came forward yesterday, the day before, and says, here's the suggested amendments. The federal government doesn't have to follow any of this.
But is it through? Is that like part of it now?
No, it got no. Suggestion? So the thing that was voted in the Senate is not the same thing as we're talking about now. The Senate thing is a totally different NDAA disclosure, like I said, modeled after JFK. The congressional one is like, you have an X amount of time to tell us what you have, and that's it. And
so I'm fascinated by this whole thing because I've been doing it from like a different perspective,
mm-hmm.
where I'm completely ignoring the ufology of it, right?
But they, and just, which is interesting because Schumer, in his bill, defines what an NHI is. It's like specifically UAP related.
Oh, exactly. So the thing I think is interesting is when you look at this, it's very similar to what we saw in Canada, where it really clearly at the like it started with a lot of congressmen who are out of like, well, I guess technically in power in their state, but out of power federally on the Republican side, saying, "What are you hiding?" Which again goes very much to the whole like the government's keeping things from you, my fellow MAGA, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that,
right?
that leaves out Gillibrand and the Democrats on that side.
And so the other side that I think is interesting, and this is what a lot of people are saying about Schumer and everyone who's hitting it from the other. By the way, Kirsten Gillibrand. No
I'm just saying, if you're going to say one party, you might as well bring up the other party.
Right. So, but the other side, going with Schumer and them, mm-hmm. what people are saying is that those bills and things they're trying to pass and get through and the hearings they want to have are not, oh, it's going to be UAP are real, but more like this is what they really are. And try to poo-poo the more alien-y shit, and it'd be more like you were saying, Raytheon and whatever. And so that's where they're saying they're coming from. And so I think it's interesting to see that. Well, it's interesting to see that both sides are like, oh, we don't know what it is and we want to know more. But each side is coming from it from a different, like one side is more conspiratorial and one side is like, these are government dollars that you are hiding. And it's super interesting because everyone got a spin. Everyone has their own idea. But at the end of the day, they're all just like, we don't know what this is.
And that's exactly
the most telling thing.
That's exactly it. And I'm with you on that. I agree. And I think the angle to come at it with is what is that angle of not conspiracy side, come at it from the funding side of things. Cause that's the only way, even if they're just hiding things from us that are not necessarily non-human or whatever, but just things that are hiding and make super secrets they shouldn't be fucking doing.
Let's knock them off the list.
Yeah, that's just like bingo. And I agree with you. Like, no matter how this turns out, the fact that it was voted 73-25 was heartening. It just shows, like you said, that both sides are like, we don't know what the fuck is going on.
People are listening.
The more they push, the more Pentagon seems to be pushing back even harder.
It's about funding. I mean, again,
of course it's about funding.
If you look at the budget that we spend.
Oh, I know, it's fucking insane.
The military budget is huge, and every year we make it bigger. And I think for them, this could be one of those things where if we start pulling at threads, mm-hmm. we're going to find all. Like, again, going back to the dude who's like saying there's this, you know, they got this research facility. This guy told me this and this and this. And we have.
Are you talking about the Reddit post? Talk about the biology thing?
No, I'm talking about Grush.
Oh, you're talking about Grush? Okay, gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah, like him saying all those things. Even if you don't believe him, all you got to do is be like, okay, well, something has to be funding the program that's doing. So let's just find where that money's going. Right. And I think that's the simplest answer to all of this. Just
100%.
Like track the dollars. And if it is really just some company, we gave Boeing some money, then how about we regulate the shit out of that?
Yeah.
Like, how about exactly follow that?
And also, like, even if it's no aliens, what the fuck are these scientists doing?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is wild this technology?
If it's something that's so
anyway.
Not real and they so want it to not be real, how hard they're pushing back on it. And I'm not saying it means aliens. It doesn't mean aliens. It just means, much like the UAPs and the orb videos and stuff that we're seeing, something is going on.
I think we all agree that something is going on. Yeah.
The only way to get to it is cut their fucking money. Cut their funding.
What's fascinating is there's actually, I found the book. I haven't read it yet, but I'm very excited about this, where it's literally a play-by-play of post-World War II getting the Germans in Operation Paperclip to the U.S. to have them do all their weird things, and it leads up to Roswell, and the hypothesis of the book is Roswell was just German test, like a German wing ship that crashed that was a test thing, and all of its cover up BS. Even the alien stuff is cover up BS.
See, that's so weird too, because like that's not even a unique theory. Like that's so common.
Of course not. Of course
there's
not.
There's the theory that's like even more
really
common is it was.
And I love that.
There's a theory that's even more common is that it was the Russians and they put mentally ill children on it as like a fucking thing to throw people off.
Oh no, this is like an American thing. Like the runway. Mm-hmm. That they flew these wing ships out of, which are basically just like the German, just straight up, it looked like a boomerang, but it was jet fighter.
I mean, the Germans did try to make like,
literally is
saucer
a
craft.
Straight line towards Roswell.
Sure.
And so it's like that thing where they're like, oh, it might have just crashed. And so, but it's one of those stupid things where because America, if that was the case in this hypothesis, because America's so afraid of like, whoops, we got a bunch of Nazis and had them build weird Nazi shit, and then one of them crashed. It's better if it's aliens, because at least we don't have to explain it.
But if that was their goal, then why did they come out 2 days later and say it was a weather balloon and not just be like, aliens, like they were running with?
Well, because that worked people up.
That could have been the strategy.
Yeah.
Like, if you're you were saying in the episode we did earlier, like, if you're, like, going to give him the church blessing and just believe what he's saying.
Yeah, yeah, like, you just believe it.
The alien idea is there to muddy the waters, and then the weather balloon is there to be like, oh, but it's a mundane explanation, of course, so that the rational people can be,
which
people
drives
who
me
see themselves rational. You know?
Yeah, but which drives me crazy, though, because if that is the logic they're using, why are we redefining it to UAPs and trying to legitimize it? Why not just keep
like
it UFOs and keep it hilarious and to the side and get people worked up
well,
over
this
it?
Marketing.
This, I mean,
marketing for what?
It's so you can do something different with the idea if you want.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's
like
to make
in
it all
2020,
go away so you don't have to talk about it anymore.
Well, in 2023, right? What we need the alien disinformation campaign to do, like if we're being cynical, we need it to do may be different than what we needed it to do in 1965, right? And so maybe the name of UFOs has run its course and is now kind of like too goofy to like bring into congressional hearings. So we rebrand it. In order to, and even if you're not being cynical, that's exactly why they're doing it for real, is because calling them UFOs is like a bad vibe in terms of getting people who are especially old and conservative to take you seriously.
Well, that's why I'm asking, like, if we're to believe the UFO and all that stuff was to put out there just to confuse people, why are we rebranding in the first place? It's doing its job. It's keeping people confused. We only call it UAP now because the government decided that's what we call it.
It's the same reason Pepsi rebrands just
but then
to
they went
match
back to Pepsi after.
Well, just to match the vibe of the changing generation.
I know what you're saying. It just the logic doesn't click with me, and maybe I'm just not seeing something that's there. But it just like
I mean,
the reason to rebrand undoes the reason to make fun of UFOs in the first place.
I just think it's more complex than that. If it is,
that's what I agree with you.
Say there's any logic in government though is
also
insane.
True.
Because let's be very clear: if you just follow any of the news the last like month, in the White House, they found cocaine. Right?
Yeah.
It was in a tour group section, but of course, Fox News is like, "It's Biden's son. He's doing coke." And then and the White House is like, "No, it was. It's in a." His son isn't even here. Why would it? Right? It doesn't matter. But then, in order to just make it even worse, they're like, no fingerprints were found on the bag of cocaine. And then all the right wing people are like, oh, conspiracy. To say there's any logic in any, they literally made it worse by being like, yeah, we couldn't find anything. Like, why
so
say anything then?
And then in the past month as well, I shared the two Pentagon interviews with the press asking about it, and the way they just like, dance around everything and just like don't say yes or no, and they're like, well, they're none of this, and it's
the same thing as I don't know if anyone listening or the two of you are old enough to remember, but during the Iraq war when Donald Rumsfeld was just like, well, they're the known knowns
and the
unknown knowns.
Yep.
And it's that kind of bullshit where government, because they're also afraid of being pinned down by like a reporter or by facts, like they everything is obtuse and everything is like vague, and everything is you know, we just change little things here and there, and we don't really speak the truth because the minute
your brain
you do,
does it
then they hold your feet
things
to the fire.
Yeah.
But you would think if the government wants us to stop poking around at the shit that they're keeping secret, they would be definitive in any of their answers in either denial or say it's like military stuff. Like instead they just leave it vague, and it creates
depends on what their end goal is.
an average, like, it's average people.
Yeah, no,
like,
I know.
For the most part, they're not any smarter than us. And a lot of them are just sort of making it up as they go along.
And there's probably, yeah, there's probably 15 different entities within the government with 15 different goals.
I mean, yeah,
that are all trying to exploit the UAP situation for different reasons, whether or not they're real, right?
100%. Again,
especially people who don't know and don't think that they're real.
Yeah, right? it's just the context surrounding their moves and what they're doing. With the two hearings coming up and the bills passed, you know, it's more movement. And I said this before. You know, we could say we've seen this happen before, but more shit has happened in the past, like, 3 to 5 years than, like, the 20 years I've been following this. Easily. Tell me another time.
Assuming this all isn't going to pop out as fake.
But if that's the case, let it pop out as fake.
Yeah, of course. But, for example, if the Roswell video, the autopsy video that was, like, really popular in the 90s.
Yeah, we know that's a fake, though.
We know now that it was fake. But at the time, right, we're like, the same kind of vibe of, like, people actually flirting with the idea.
Sure, yeah. But, like, now in the first half 4 years, we've got AARO with Kirkpatrick. We have, like, a closed door meeting every fucking month. We have NASA, who built a team of specialists to look for it. We have NASA looking through the James Webb telescope to find things. We have Avi Loeb out in the water scooping up spherules.
This feels like recency bias, though. Like, because it's happening now and we're in it, and I know you said the last 20 years, but I'm letting you know that just like with all the religious fervor over, like, the gays are ruining our kids, like, all this shit happens in cycles, just like In the 90s, go back and look at the 90s. There was a lot of alien stuff.
Yeah.
Specials, the TV shows. And
the difference is the internet exists now.
No, but the difference is that then it was, we have cable TV is a thing.
Yeah.
Like all it is it's building off of stuff, right? So looking at the cycles of people being bigoted as shit. Before, it was like, we don't like gay people. Now it's like, we don't like transgender people. It's just like one more building block up. And the same thing with this idea, where in the 90s it was alien autopsies and, like, UFO reports.
It was like a little bit simpler.
I think we're looking at different things. You're looking at the pop culture. I'm looking at government movements. Government movements in the 90s didn't do this.
It's a level up where you can, like, remember how we've talked about in the past how there's no place left to go, right? With this shit that we're on now.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So before, the place that was left to go was the government. Now we're at that government. We circled back around to where there's a fervor again. Now we're at the government. And so if this turns out to be nothing, there will be in X number of years a circle back around.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it'll circle back.
On a world level.
But
or
I would be super surprised if this comes out fake, that we'd see another AARO formation similar, that we'd see bills from Congress and the Senate being pushed, that we'd see whistleblowers coming forward. Yeah, we'll circle back and someone will see something. We'll have a video. People will speculate. They won't believe. But to see the push we're seeing right now within the government is something new that I've never seen before.
I believe, more likely than not, this will come to... It is... Like, we're not going to find anything of real value. And, like, all this stuff, because they're like, oh, we're going to have hearings, we're going to do this... And then if it comes to nothing, we're just going to be at the same place we always were. And then in a few years, it'll circle back to something else. And then, you know, because right now this feels very U.S. focused. And I wonder if the next level up is world focused. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, like the seeds are already there.
We
already looked at the
Canadian prime minister release. Yeah, we've already heard that the Brazil has opened up their UFO files.
As much as us. Let's be very clear.
The U.S.
government is going ham on this.
Well, they're going ham because we're keeping a secret. A lot of the world governments are very open about it already. Like, Germany is open about it. Brazil is open about it. Mexico.
But they're not doing any. You know, like, they're not like...
But it's because you don't...
They're
read.
Not like...
They have,
well, they're not like, here's our pictures of our aliens, which is, of course... Well, yeah. Thing that we're waiting for literally everybody to still
sure,
do the
sure.
obvious thing that anybody
yeah.
could
you're
do.
Looking for the body picture, obviously.
I'm not even just that. It's just like no one is like, aliens are from Saturn and they are here to do XYZ. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the Mexican president said fantasy elves are real, nobody believes them. So, like, why does it really matter if a president of a country says something's
matters.
Real?
Context matters. Like, if
I
Joe
agree.
Biden,
so let's look at this with context.
I am looking at it with context, and I'm saying if Joe Biden went on TV tomorrow or on the 26th, Joe Biden comes out and he's like, "The thing is, it's real. We there's craft that are we they're alien craft. where we got one from Italy in the 30s, yada, yada, yada. Like, yeah, if that's what happened, right, that's a different thing.
But then do you believe it because the government's
telling
you?
Well, looking at it now, all I'm saying is, looking at it now, mm-hmm. if aliens are real, in the world where aliens are real, this is the farthest that real disclosure has ever gotten.
That's what I've been trying to say. This is the closest we've gotten. What I mean by most movement, this is the closest we've ever gotten.
If aliens are real, yes.
If they're
real,
correct.
If aliens are not real, this is just another step in...
Trying to figure out where our money's going.
What Jesse's been saying, just like this kind of more cultural sort of like, how far up is this hoaxing, weird alien woo-woo shit
going into our government? Because now we're at the point where, like Jesse said, there's nowhere else to go. The bills are being put forward. Things are being put forward. If and when they pass, now what? Right? Like, now we wait and watch to see what the government says. Like, if they, well, like, it's up to them now, right?
It's like, we now know, like, yeah, it's true. Like, but it's like, it's up to the facts. It's like, Bob Lazar, for example, right?
Sure.
Dude was like, I did all this shit. I'm Bob Lazar. I was like, all this stuff. And everybody was like, oh, shit. This is the highest up guy we've ever heard in the government.
He was the first kind of like trickle.
But turns out Bob Lazar wasn't who he said he was exactly, right?
Bob Lazar was a lot of mispresenting history for him.
He's misrepresenting himself. Mm-hmm. So, in the time, it felt more significant.
Yes,
than it is now. And so right now, that's what we're waiting to find out.
Did it feel significant because it was rare and it just wasn't happening? And it was like
it was
the
feeling
first
significant. We just didn't have all the facts yet, and that's the same situation now. Bob Lazar seemed real to a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
Like people were hearing what he said and being like, this guy is a high ranking guy in the government and we believe him. Same thing that's happening with Grush right now. Obviously, I understand the difference.
Yeah.
But that's the whole point. It's like, if it's real, there is a difference. If it's not real, if it comes out that it's actually us just trying to cover for the fact that we're recovering Chinese anti-gravity planes or some shit like that. Like,
which is weird.
You know, still crazy, still very scary.
Still bizarre. We still should know about it.
But that's where we're at.
I agree. And Lazar and Grush, while similar in what they say, you know, like Lazar, you go look at his past. It's hard to even figure out what's real and what's not.
It's pretty straight up incomplete.
It's incomplete. There's a lot of question marks. There's a lot of like weirdness.
But again, that's recency though, right? Like, have we really taken the time to like deep dive Grush? I don't think anyone has.
Oh, Grush? Yeah. They did. They launched
did that with Lazar and it took.
Well, people just, you look again, Lazar never got the public attention that Grush is getting. So you can't compare the two in that regard. And Lazar, all you had to do
got a lot of attention though.
All you had to do with Lazar is he goes, I went to MIT. You go look at MIT. There's no files of him at MIT. Immediately red flag. Like, how did he get away with it
for so long, I guess, is the question I'm asking.
He didn't. Just people wanted to believe. They just ignored the facts.
Well,
but also,
but I'm looking at the facts. Grush is not lying about where he went, lying about where he worked, lying to the people he talked to. They are not the same.
Right. Well, right now, that's how it seems. Right?
Yeah, sure.
All I'm saying is, before we knew the answers about Bob Lazar, there isn't a difference. And that's kind of the point that I'm making. It's like, we're not... Like, history hasn't settled. Yeah, history hasn't settled around this yet in the same way.
How would you say Lazar and Grush are similar? Like, Grush, on the day he came forward, we could verify where he worked. We couldn't do that with Lazar.
No, it's the same in that the people that are hearing it from somebody that they think is legit.
Oh, okay, sure. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
But if we're looking at, like, the veracity of the person saying it,
As time went on, it became very clear that Bob Lazar and Grush are not the same.
No.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. Sure. If this turns out to be a misinformation campaign to cover up the fact that China had a breakthrough with anti-gravity, and we are trying desperately to figure out what the fuck that is, and the government sent out Grush to literally take us off the trail of that, right? It's not going to change the difference between Bob Lazar and Grush.
Isn't Grush still the edge of like Occam's razor? Isn't a simpler explanation is just being honest of what he's been told instead of working as this big conspiracy with the government as a misrepresentation agent?
Even if he is, you know, maybe he's being told incorrect facts.
That's possible, sure. But I don't know if Grush would be aware he's part of this grand conspiracy and go to all these people.
That's not really the point of what I'm saying. The point is either this guy's like gonna go down in history as like the first step in actual disclosure, or he is still a real guy, but it's like he's part of a situation that ended up not being about aliens at all.
Sure, so, and that's very possible. Like, Rush is, like you said, I agree, he's like the creme de la creme of whistleblowers you could hope for, bearing somebody walking out with a video of a corpse or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of pedigree, the best.
We're at the cusp of it, because he's going to be at these closed doors and public hearings. He's going to be at the public hearing on the 26th. All the people that said that, like, the hearing on the 26th was coming a few months ago are now saying, like, you need to watch this. This is going to be very important. And then with the, you know, the kind of couple with that, the Avi Loeb update is also fucking cool, even if it's not aliens. So Avi Loeb went out into, you know, the interstellar meteor that supposedly crashed in the Indian Ocean that the DOD had, like, kind of honed in as to where it went. He went out scooping, looking for spherules, hoping to find like five to 10 of them. He came home with over 90 of them. He sent it
out to
three.
That's not
going
to be disappointing to me, whatever it turns out.
We already know some because he kept some for himself to study at his lab. And then he sent some off to like Yale, Harvard, a lab in Germany, and a couple others. What we found out, the two things we know that are fascinating. One, we know it's interstellar because it dated 4.5 billion years old. It's super fucking old.
So it's literally from space and it's ancient, which is awesome.
And every single one of the orb spherules that they've analyzed so far are made up of like iron, titanium, you know, your usual stuff. The thing that's surprising, and I think get kind of people don't realize because you have to like do a little research to realize it, is there's no nickel in it. And a rule of the way iron is made via the explosion, and we have evidence on Earth and other meteors within our solar system, is that where there is iron, there is also nickel. Just obviously explains it in a post. I don't understand chemistry, but the way things explode, iron and nickel kind of like form and then fuse. And they're in order for us to use iron, which we do often, we have to purify the nickel out of it because nickel weakens the iron. And there is no nickel in any of the spherules so far, which indicates science we don't understand and how maybe it got purified out of it in some other way, or maybe it was formed in a way our science doesn't truly understand, or it was purified out of it 4.5 billion years ago. And if it is ET,
I was gonna say, could this be like star matter, that kind of stuff, where it's
possibly
just heat? Well, it could be something that forms somewhere else that we don't know how
it's definitely solid object, you know, like it's a rock of some sort. He's trying to go back out in 2024.
4.5 billion years, it could be injected out of a solar object.
Could have been,
And that heat would have destroyed the nickel, and then the iron would have just through space.
The question is, is it just a science anomaly, or is it manufactured?
Right.
Metal,
well, that's like the question is like, we
times.
Don't understand scientifically how it could have been, nickel could have been purified out of iron without it being purified by someone or something, because that's not how we understand the physics and chemistry to work.
It is
the universe. There's so much fuck we don't know. It's very, very possible, obviously. Yeah. But like, that's also just important because as far as our science understands, that doesn't make any sense.
Word on the craft.
Well, he wants to go back out in 2 years because he's got to get the funding and get a crew and plan it and all this stuff. So he's trying to go back out there for another scoop to find the end of where this thing is, so we can either find the wreckage of this meteor that crashed, like what's left of it, because it would still be the first interstellar meteor we've ever had. These are the first interstellar spherules from a meteor we've ever been able to study, which is fucking awesome. And his other thing is like, if it is from a civilization 4.5 billion years ago, it's probably launched like our Voyager was launched, not at us directly, just fucking floated out into space, and 4.5 billion years later, via odds, it crashed into something, and it was Earth. Who knows how many are out there? Who knows where they came from? Who knows if he's even real? But he's saying that's what he thought Oumuamua kind of was an idea of. And he's like, if this is manufactured because of how old it is, it was probably similar to what we did with Voyager, where they just like fired something out there and it wandered for eons and eons and eons.
But what's interesting about that is, tech-wise, we talked about on this very show that the idea of Voyager, right? Every time we send out new probes, we're better at it, and it would be faster. So by the time Voyager reaches someplace, we'll have sent something else that will reach there first.
Yeah, which you could, if you want to tie it into.
Which is why we don't send out stuff all the time, because it's a waste of energy, because as technology improves, we'll just get better at it.
But we did send out Voyager.
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying, like, the idea of, first off, maybe it's just rocks, but also
it's a cool rock.
Wouldn't it be interesting? Let's get fun,
because it could be here ahead of it. You know,
yeah. Wouldn't it be interesting if this was a thing that was in some way related to like the extraterrestrials already visiting, and it's just their old tech and it arrived late and crashed, and they were like, "Oh wow, that's crazy! We sent
that probe
five centuries ago."
Yeah, There's like the idea of like the Von Neumann probe, a probe that can like kind of repair itself. I don't know what kind of tech that would be. That's a theory. But yeah, no, I agree. Like, what if it was just something that fired out and after 4.5 billion years, it just finally, the odds came across and it collided with something and it was just us. Who knows how many
I imagine it's a rock. I'll be real. I think it's just space rock, but like.
If it is, that's still cool because now we know there's a way.
Yeah, there's like, very cool.
Yeah, nickel has been, there's something out there that can purify nickel that we don't understand yet. And James Webb might help us with that.
Yeah, we are space babies.
Huge space babies. Yeah. We know nothing.
That's what I mean about not being disappointed by this, regardless of whether
that's
it's
what
real.
I feel like.
It's such a cool scientific discovery, regardless.
Try to wrap your mind. I just want to read these papers. 4.5 billion years old landed on our planet. Impossible for the human brain to wrap around. Jesse, what did you bring to us on your return?
I got another real quickie. It's going to be good. And more importantly, it is related to just us discovering things and being little space babies. So according to legend, the ancient Zapotecs, which would be found in Oaxaca, which, by the way, it's a Oaxaca Valley in Mexico. If you ever go to a Mexican restaurant and you see a cheese spelled O-A-X-A-C-A.
Yeah, I've seen
Oaxaca,
that.
Oaxaca. That's how you say it. Not Oaxaca or whatever people say. Anyway, Zapotec legend usually revolves around this intricate network of underground tunnels, this fabled entrance to the underworld. And the story goes that in the 15th century, Spanish missionaries found it, sealed it off, and built a church on top of it, the Church of San Pablo. In addition to local lore and stuff, historical accounts support the tales of the tunnel. Like, people in 1674, Dominican chronicler named Francisco Burgoa described an extensive cavity in the earth at this place called Mitla, which, you know, a group of Spanish missionaries decided to go and explore. They went down into it and they were like, yo, it stank. It was damp. It was hard to explore. It was cold, right? They said that a wind extinguished their lights. And they just didn't want to go down there anymore. And they gave it this whole, like, the gates to hell. That
sounds
kind of
like
thing.
They found the crack in the ice wall to the hidden lands.
They probably did. And what ended up happening? Like I said, they sealed it off. Well, according to new research analysis, a vast underground passageway has been discovered using all of that Indiana Jones-style archaeological evidence. And a team found, beneath the ruins of Mitla, an ancient city in present-day Oaxaca. And the researchers basically have a 3D model of the passageways that are underground using a combination of three geophysical scanning technologies, ground-penetrating radar, electrical resistivity tomography, and seismic noise tomography, all of which basically gave them this sort of massive underground map. The scans revealed a large void located right beneath the main altar of the church. And they also found two more passages located between 5 and 8 meters, around 16 to 26 feet below ground, as well as other geophysical anomalies north of the church. The team plans to conduct a second round of investigations in September, focusing on other structures in the area and what they can find. Basically, another lost ancient city rediscovered that we kind of didn't think was real, and now it's real.
How many more are out there? I'm like, how many are we going to find still?
Honestly, in South America, I mean, the legends are of all these amazing cities, it really truly is. Europeans came over, saw these amazing cities, left, and when they came back, the cities were gone. And literally, it's just because they gave everyone in South America, in the Americas, deathly ill plagues they never had before.
And they all died.
And wiped out so many people, or enslaved them, or killed them, or whatever. And all these places were lost to time because they were, unlike European and Western civilizations and cities, they didn't destroy the forests and stuff to build their capitals and whatever. In this part of the world, they kind of were like, hey, we like those trees. They're pretty cool.
Let's
and when no one's
in,
there, the
yeah.
trees take over again. That's just how it is.
I mean, yeah, nature's always going to take it back.
Dude, that's so crazy. That would be so awesome to be in there. It's like surreal. It's like Michael
Crichton
shit.
In this case, there was a bunch of priests were like, it's evil.
Whoa.
And they hid it from the world. Yeah.
That is the coolest shit that I've heard today, for sure.
What, not the Terra Infinita? I'm mad.
No, Terra Infinita made me angry just like you got angry. I just I just keep my emotions closer to the vest because I'm a low-key
person.
Gotta
let it go. Gotta let it go.
Welcome to Giuseppe La Rosa and the Order of Meonia, the Stones of the Tree of Life, finale. Get ready. In case you're wondering, this is a continuation of the story from a previous mini-sode based mostly on the book Chronicles of Meonia by Giuseppe La Rosa. So if you want to read the whole thing or listen to the whole thing or whatever, this starts in mini-sode 133. So that's how you got to go back and do it. We skipped some when Jesse was gone, but he's here for all the ones where he's here. Giuseppe's here too. So
all right,
go
like
find
it.
Him. Seek it out. Great. Yeah. Last time, we traveled the Tree of Life and braved its mysteries and met the entities who lived along its branches. And we linked each of our group to a specific stone color and the all-important Chalice of Guevara. And just in case you forgot, here's a quick recap. Janet has the black stone. Alan has the purple stone. Mike has the yellow stone. Marion has the OG green stone. Graham has the gray stone. Terry Shotton has the orange stone. Pat Shotton has the blue stone. Gaynor has the white stone. We do not know who is connected to the red stone yet. And our hero, the timid and often left behind Giuseppe La Rosa, is responsible and fated, tied to the chalice itself. Anyway, a few weeks later, after nothing exciting happened, he got a call from Terry Shotton, who told him to come over so he could catch up, catch him up on what they all did while Giuseppe was away. Again, just like he literally calls him and he's like, "Hey, will you please come over and let us tell you what we did without you, please?" I don't know why that's the norm, but it happens like every single time in every multiple times per chapter. It happens. Like, if you're making it up, why are you making it up? Why are you telling this story that you weren't? Is it plausible deniability?
It's got to be something. That way, he's like, it was all a lie. He just can say it was, well, I wasn't there.
Yeah. But anyway, so Terry had a little bit to catch Giuseppe up on. And Mathis now is going to read what Terry told Joe in his own words, which luckily we have here from the book.
Excellent. Oh, God, it's going to do the thing. All right, there we go. During the week, Graham came over. He believed that we were close to obtaining the blue stone and felt it was possible that we could get it at night. We went out to the well and stood around it for a while, but nothing happened, so we walked away. As we neared the cottage, Pat turned around and noticed a small cloud appear at the top of the garden. She felt that the blue stone had been deposited on the ground and began to search through the grass directly where she had seen the cloud. She was on her hands and knees and looking through every blade of grass, but she couldn't find it. I searched for it for two nights with my torch, and I could not find it. The following day, I marked out the garden in quadrants using string and began to thoroughly search each one. Eventually, I found it about 10 yards from the well. It took some finding, I tell you.
Yeah, and apparently the stone that they found wasn't just blue.
It was like a cloud fart, just kind of like shat out, sharded out a stone?
Yeah, pretty much. Right. And when they looked at it up close, they looked inside it. The blue stone actually has a little streak of yellow inside of it that you can see.
Oh shit, someone pissed on it.
Yeah, so that's a weird part of it. But then a few months pass by. Pretty soon, it's the third week of August. I think we're in 1982 or 1983 now. And though prior commitments, as always, prior commitments kept Giuseppe from attending, Graham was once again possessed, this time by the goddess Diana, who told him to go out into the garden where a flash of light shot from the well and the oval purple stone appeared there in the water for Alan, as everybody watched. Then, a few minutes later, another beam of yellow light shot into the well, and sure enough, the hard, triangular yellow stone appeared for Mike. Then Graham went into a trance, and white light shot from the well. And when Graham opened his hand, the small, faceted, gem-like white stone appeared for Gaynor out of nowhere. Like a diamond cut clear stone called the White Stone. I can, if you want to see it, there is, they only have a picture of the White Stone of all the stones in the book for some reason. I have it here. I'll take a screen cap for you. This is unofficial. I can't show this to the general public without stealing.
I'm Nos Confundum right now.
How do I take a screenshot on Windows, guys?
Oh, good question. I use Gyazo.
I don't know. What is Gyazo? You know what? You guys can see it later. It just looks like a diamond cut ball. that was taken a picture of in the 1980s. You can just take my word for it.
I do.
It's the only one of the stones.
You.
It's the only one of the stones that they found, that they have a picture of. So that one just appeared in Graham's hand out of nowhere when the well lit up and he went into a trance. Then they were all really tired because of all the crazy magic stuff that had been happening. Apparitions, apportions, apparits. They were calling them in the book, something like that. Like items that appear out of nowhere, basically.
They apparate.
Like they're magical items that appear from like, you know, another realm.
Objects of power.
Yeah, like things that that aren't there, and then you find them, and then they appear.
They apparate.
Right?
They apparate in front of you. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
I got you.
So they took a break for a few nights because they were exhausted. And when they came back, Graham told Pat to go find a little box. In the book, they call it a trinket box. Maybe that's a clear thing in the UK. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just imagining like a dingy little box. Told Pat to go upstairs and stand in the middle of a pillar of invisible energy that was concentrated in the lounge upstairs for a few minutes. And when she came back down, inside the trinket box was Janet's dark black stone, which was a total of 7. And then during the week, Graham's gray stone, oval-shaped with veins of silver inside, appeared to him.
This is someone's testicle that he fucking scooped out of the mortuary.
Maybe a testicle of a god.
Maybe.
And
ooh, shit.
Yeah. And it appeared to him while he was by himself at home during the week. And then suddenly, a psychic revelation becomes apparent to Giuseppe and the others. And here it is, and this is going to be surprising to everybody. This is for Jesse to read in Giuseppe's own words.
The Eye of Fire, psychic information informed us, was in reality not the red stone, but the orange stone. This has been confirmed by a letter found in a bottle, which had stated Mary Heath held the orange stone. There was also the fact that the Eye of Fire was undoubtedly a carnelian stone, which was orangey red. The red stone, the group had been informed, would be the hardest to obtain, for it contained a great power. They had done well. But for now, the group, capital G group, would have to be content with the stones that now lay in their possession.
Yep. So, big reveal.
Question, was it because the stone, the red stone, is actually like a goop that was inside of a famous actress at some point?
I don't know. See, that's the whole question. That's the whole question.
You'd think you'd have these super powerful stones. You could like rule the world with them.
If you put them in a gauntlet, I think you could.
We thought we had it for so long. We thought we had that red stone in hand, but guess what? Even after going through
it
a whole
book, orange.
This
it
is
was
the
orange.
Second point in the D&D campaign where you're about to end, but everybody's having too much fun and wants to keep going.
The DM just.
He's got up. All right, it's the red up. Not
DM's
the red stone.
Lonely.
Orange stone.
This is my Thursday. I need this.
This is Giuseppe's.
This is how
this
I
is
align with the
DM.
Boys. So then a few days later, Giuseppe met up with everybody, finally saw the stones in person. And Pat also made a point to show that the previous night she had held her yellow-streaked blue stone over the well, and inexplicably, in a flash of yellow, the streak purified out of the stone, and now the stone was pure blue. Pure blue. Don't know why, don't know how. It is not explained so far in the story why this happens. And
well, I think
I am
the yellow
at the end of the
went
chapter.
Off and created the land of the Draco.
It could be. It seriously could be. It could all connect. We saw there's a green stone dome.
Oh, that's right. The island of green stones.
Yeah. All that remains.
The TVA dumps the time stones they don't need.
Maybe every dome gets one, and that's where they come from. All that remained was figuring out how to get the real red stone and the Chalice of Guevara. And at the Shottens in mid-September, Marion was the only person who drew the tarot card that matched with her position on the Tree of Life, which is kind of like their psychic adventuring version of drawing straws. They all draw a tarot card, and if you draw your own tarot card, that means you're the one who has to do it. It's fated. So they decided that it would be her who tried to locate the chalice. Graham and Terry showed up at her house in Wales the following morning, following Saturday. They didn't really have a plan except to just kind of drive into the countryside and let Marion decide when they turn left or right or not. And at the last minute, Gaynor, who is
like
her daughter.
Me as a five-year-old with my mom, be like, can I tell you which way to turn?
Yeah, exactly. Well, but it's more like you're listening to the
it was Barney in my head telling me which way to go. I get you. Go ahead.
Yeah. So she decides that, like, based on her sort of feelings, her instincts, it led them in the direction of Penacliddiae, which is a Welsh place that doesn't look like it's pronounced that way. And I probably butchered it, but I tried my best. It's a high hill that's nearby. And following her directions as they went, left, right, straight, whatever she felt, eventually she stopped them at a gate near a field at the base of Penacliddiae, with a feeling that she needed to find running water. So they're out of the car now. They're looking for running water in this field. They hear it. They try and find it. And eventually they find a tiny stream near a big flat piece of granite. And Gaynor hops up on the rock, and everybody's kind of just looking around and just being like, there's no way that there's like a chalice here. But she sees something and she catches it. She thinks it's a flower that she sees. But when she goes to investigate it, it turns out, in reality, in a small little hollow, like carved out area between the granite stone and the ground, was a wooden chalice that was filled with pink quartz crystals.
I too confused wooden chalices with a flower growing.
Well, it's the, she saw that it was filled with pink quartz crystals inside.
Gotcha.
So inside the chalice, like if you saw just like a flash of it, you might think it was flower petals, right? But yeah, so that all happened. But back in the present, where Giuseppe finally gets to see the chalice because he wasn't there, here's the wrap up for this chapter in Giuseppe's own words, with Jesse's gonna, because he's Jesse's Giuseppe now for today. So there we go.
You, I want to let you know, I really want to be like, it was a salt animal.
I know, because his name's Giuseppe. Well, right, no one in this story ever calls him Giuseppe. That is like his author name that he like added on. Like everybody in the story calls him Joe.
Also, having been in Britain for a week, every BBC announcer talks like this. Eager to examine mystical object. It's terrible. I can't. Like, all right.
Matt Berry.
Eager to examine a mystical object, I gently eased it out of Graham's hands and gazed in awe at what I was holding. It was most certainly made out of wood, and the cup was full of beautiful rose quartz crystals. This was the chalice that Margaret had stated in her letter that had been fashioned by Guevara, and which was also called the Grail. This object, she informed us, was means of directly communicating with the entity known as She, or the White Lady. The White Lady, as far as I understood, was a manifestation of a powerful mystical force known throughout the ages as the Goddess.
Known as La Llorona.
I felt honored and privileged to be able to hold this mystical talisman. Now I truly felt accepted by the forces behind the project, whoever or whatever they were.
Yeah, so the Stones of the Tree of Life finale ends basically with Giuseppe getting his, like, master sword.
He joins the Circle of Nine.
He joins the Circle of Nine, but he's special because everybody else in the circle has a stone, and he has the chalice.
They were like, Giuseppe is going to fucking leave us, guys, and stop playing this stupid game because we leave him behind. We need to hook him. Give him something. He doesn't get a stone. Feel special. But get something special, right?
It's okay, like giving perfect. Your little brother the NES controller and playing Mega Man with him.
All right, Giuseppe, you're in. Hey, you want to keep writing? Keep being the note taker.
What's that, Joey? You want us to call you Giuseppe? You got it.
Oh, look at this. The goddess has something for you, Giuseppe.
And a wooden grail that we didn't make. It's just, it was there.
I'm in. I'll keep playing.
Yeah. And this is going to be continued on the next minisode when our next story arc, which is called The Mystery of the Tower Hotel, begins.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we're moving on to phase two. I can't believe it.
I would call this loosely at least phase three, if not phase four.
Okay, well, if we're moving into phase four, I'm expecting a slight dip in quality.
Well,
we'll see. All right, well, we'll see what happens. Thanks for watching, everybody. Thank you so much. If you're
Patreon.com/TheMoneyPod. Thank you for watching.
Okay, goodbye.
Bye.
Hello, my little Chaluminauts. Welcome. To minisode 143.
This isn't a bad camera. This is embarrassment. I'm trying to shield myself.
Yeah, you're looking for you. Those who are got the blessings of video. You're getting Jesse from Las Vegas, where the sin is coming to his doorstep and asking to be let
so
in.
So much sin that the Wi-Fi is bad. It's blocking the Wi-Fi signal. Yeah, it's bad.
89 degrees heat. Well, no, actually, right now it's like a little bit colder, but it was hot
in
today.
Vegas.
Everybody,
it's
looks, 110
look at my hair right now.
Yeah, Jesse literally traveled to Vegas, got to his hotel, and basically jumped on this to do the show. So Jesse
it is
110
degrees. I have to go outside here in a little bit. Real thrilled about it.
Be safe,
very
dude.
Excited.
Yeah. Don't That's worry. Insane. I got you guys covered. I got you guys covered today.
So I know you got that. The only thing I want to say, because we're not doing the big alien stuff. I'm going to do a main episode on the big alien stuff. But scientific thing happened wild today. A
so
female
nuts.
Microscopic roundworm that spent the last 46,000 years in suspended animation deep in the Siberian permafrost has not only been revived, it has now started having babies in a laboratory dish.
What?
That's scary to me.
Because Representative Ted Lieu quote tweeted and said, I have long thought it would be near impossible for aliens to ever visit Earth because of the unimaginably vast distances. However, if life can be put into suspended animation for 46,000 years, then it is theoretically possible. Aliens can travel for tens of thousands of years.
This little worm.
That's what convinced.
That's what got him?
That's what got him.
Amazing. That's so funny.
Yeah, that's funny to me. Yeah, 46,000-year-old roundworm.
Can you imagine it? Can you imagine resuming your life 46,000 years in the
waking
future?
Up horny as shit after 46,000 years.
That's why you wake up every day, Mathis.
I know.
I feel like a microscopic roundworm wouldn't. I don't know if that's its priority. Although it did have kids, so I guess
it did
you're
just
right.
Pop out children, man. That's
yeah,
why I was
I guess
saying
it, was...
it. The morning wood after 46,000 years in deep sleep.
I don't think
anyway.
The roundworm has a dick, first of all. But second of all, do you think that it has it's small enough or big enough to have like diseases on it or germs on it or something?
Oh, I'm sure. But I'm sure
I feel like it would be in some type of lab.
Like,
or...
aren't we scared of that a little bit? Are we terrified
I mean,
of that?
We should be scared. We should be more scared of the ice caps melting and all the shit that's in those being put into the ocean compared
Same
to
thing,
like
yeah.
Who, yeah, who knows
worm.
What's already been dumped into the fucking ocean as ice caps have been fracturing and melting.
Look, they already said that the that we're probably messing up the various currents and flows and whatnot
yeah, we
in the
saw,
ocean.
All those dead penguins washed up on the shore.
They're like
somewhere.
By 2025, the oceans could be totally screwed. So like,
we're just
cool.
gonna have an empty ocean. Forget about fish. It's done.
Yeah, God'll fix it.
Dude, I don't even know where to look anymore. Like, the alien thing, I think I'm just grasping at it at this point because I just need a savior.
I don't think they're here to cure our problems, though. I don't.
I want. I just want their tech.
And be like, look at these monkeys. What are they
doing?
I
just want their tech. I just want their healing ray.
Time out. Do you think, this is wacky conspiracy stuff, but like, disaster tourism? The aliens come here because they know we're doomed and they're like, let's watch, dude.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, actually.
Elon Musk's. They're making their 4K walking video of a society in decline. 4K.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Every time a group of sentient beings creates like a nuclear style weapon, they probably that's like their ping for TV. They're like, set up base, let's watch. Who knows when they'll blow each other
will
out?
They
These
make
are
it?
The bombs.
Yeah, will
These
they
are
make
the
it?
Bombs that will do the job. Check out the missile silos. Oh shit! Some people are coming. Watch out!
Whoa,
and now we return your consciousnesses to their home place and crash the craft on the planet to leave no waste behind.
Isn't that the plot of a movie?
Yeah, Sound of Thunder and a book.
No, is that... What's the movie where they cancel Earth?
They cancel Earth?
Cancel Earth?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
Yes, that's... Yeah. The book, actually, but yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing, same concept.
He wakes up and he finds out that they're building like a road through his house, and so he has to like leave his house, and then
that's not it then. What's the...
He finds out that they're building like a road through the Earth, too, so they have to like...
There's something else that's Earth the TV show, and it's getting canceled.
Rick and Morty episode? Show me what you got.
It's some other sci-fi thing.
I don't know,
sure.
man.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it's
that would,
it's
I mean,
all happening.
Listen, it's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility. We're just like a reality TV show, and these are tourists that are coming
out this way. I want to freeze myself. That's not fair. I want to freeze myself for 46K years.
You can. You just there's this cryo freeze people. You can go pay millions of
dollars.
No,
they all deteriorate. Every single one of them. Every single cryo frozen person, be it head or full body, deteriorates. And the trick that they're saying is if you can just keep them stored long enough till someone can literally reincarnate you, then you're fine. But like, no, we're not bringing anyone back to life. That's not happening.
Maybe Elon Musk.
Nah, dude. If anyone, I'm all right. I'm all right if it doesn't work for him.
Yeah, me too.
I would like him to go to sleep for 46,000 years.
We're going to wake up. We do it. We wake up in 46,000 years, and there are no companies. Everything's just called X.
That's already...
X won the food wars?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking horrible.
All right, Alex. We have a new journey to begin today, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, okay. Imagine it's like... It's doing like the Marvel Studios thing where it shows like the pages turning of all the classic comics.
Of,
but it's just like a bunch of pictures of British people sitting in their living rooms.
This end of Secret Invasion just.
I didn't see it. I don't know.
Dude, it was so bad.
I don't know.
Bad.
It undid the good shit that show
can't
did
wait,
for that.
Can't wait to watch it.
It was so. Dude, the meme. Oh, man. Anyway.
Can't
yeah,
wait to
terrible.
See it. I hope Kevin Feige's in there again.
I hope they fucking like. Get their fucking shit together.
They need to take like a 2-year break and stop making shit. And then,
I agree.
Like,
well,
make
you
good
know,
stuff
they
again.
Might. That might just happen.
They add more problems
whether they want
and more
to or not.
Questions. They just created the most powerful individual in all of the MCU in that show. And
who
just
is
like,
it?
Her name's Gaia. She's like a super Skrull.
Daenerys Targaryen.
Power. Yeah, Daenerys Targaryen. She has every power, including Captain Marvel's. Like every single Avengers power, she has it, and she uses it in the fight.
Oh,
it's
she's
insane.
Blow up.
She's
we will never see her again in all of Marvel.
There's no way they can do it.
Just
she
wait,
has like a fucking.
Like,
there's a meme picture of her looking down at flexing at her tiny Drax arm.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dude,
I don't want to even think about that. That seems crazy.
It's not good. It's not good.
Maybe she's just the Super Skrull. Maybe she's just like the Super Skrull.
I want to point. Like, maybe... Look, I know this is off topic. I know this is off topic, but. Important figures from all over the United States, the world, whatever, were held in the exact same location where there was radiation fallout, and they're all fine. Bro, there's so much that doesn't make any sense.
It also implies that fucking Rhodey has been basically kidnapped since Civil War. So all
yes,
the
dude,
shit that
sucks.
Happened after,
the whole thing sucks.
That he's there at Endgame and crying at Tony's funeral and shit, that was a Skrull?
Yeah.
I was like, that to me was like, all right, Marvel, you need to take time, man. You
this
gotta
is
figure
all spoilers.
Out what you're
if
doing.
You haven't, seen the show, Mathis
Don't
is just dropping
it.
Spoilers.
It's so
it's
bad.
It's not worth
it's
watching,
so
to be
bad.
Honest. It's not good.
No,
yeah,
it,
it's
it
not
started
good.
Pretty good. I actually enjoyed like most of it up until that last episode.
Just let the people know. I'm not worried about when this comes out on YouTube. Just let the people know that we just dead ass spoiled.
Yeah,
Secret
maybe
Invasion.
Include like a spoiler tag
yeah, I'll put
for
it in the title.
A Marvel show.
Yeah.
Okay, Giuseppe La Rosa and the Order of Meonia, The Mystery of the Tower Hotel, Part 1. This is a continuation of the story in the previous minisode, based mostly on the book Chronicles of Meonia by Giuseppe La Rosa. So if you want the whole thing, go back and start in minisode 133. I think you guys are going to cheer by the end of this one. Are you ready? Last time, we left our man, psychic adventurer Joe La Rosa, as well as all the other people in Graham Phillips' group, the Order of Meonia, or the Meonia group, or whatever they want to call it, Meonia, I don't know how to pronounce it, kitted out for a grand adventure together, full of colorful stones and various famous denizens of the spirit world. And now we know that though this story has a fantasy flavor, in the end, it's all fully rooted in the idea of aliens on their way to Earth and their souls, which they've sent here ahead of their physical bodies to hide among nature. Pretty wild stuff, and I can't wait to get back to it. But today, with this story, we refocus our plot back around the man whose name's on the cover of the book, Giuseppe himself. Like usual, this story begins with Giuseppe alone at home on a bitterly cold Saturday morning in February 1984. Jesse was but a babe. Mathis and I were still dead. And Terry Shotton was on the phone again.
I was coming, though. Don't worry.
Terry was on the phone, and he was like, "Hey, Joe, we just got back from our adventure, and we have some info to share." Classic Joe La Rosa business. But this time...
I feel bad
but this
for
time,
Giuseppe every
no,
time.
No, get this. This time, Joe presents things a little differently than he normally does. I'll have Mathis read this excerpt, and then you guys tell me if your understanding of the situation has shifted a little bit maybe here.
Okay, I'm interested. Who is this saying this?
This is just Joe.
Okay. Terry's statement intrigued me, and I could not wait to drive over to his cottage. Becoming involved with the Meonia group had sometimes meant spending half the night out, occasionally arriving home at dawn. Being a married man, these nocturnal excursions had brought their own problems, having to convince my wife it was a necessary part of my involvement with the... Did this guy write an entire book to cover the fact that he was banging some other chick?
I hope so.
I have a feeling. I just feel like that actually just came to... That happened. I feel like that's what happened.
You wound Joe. Don't turn on Joe so soon.
He's like, no, I promise. I'm not. I'm writing a book about it. See? And then,
maybe Giuseppe... You know? Here's what I think. I think maybe we're wrong about Joe not being a cool kid. I think maybe in reality, Joe is a cool kid, but being a psychic adventurer part-time has maybe started to affect his marriage a little bit. And maybe instead of being dicks to Giuseppe all the time, what if
Giuseppe to take his place.
Well, what if they're just keeping him included even though he can't be there? Like, maybe they all know he can't be there. He's not getting skipped for missions because he's a loser. He's just not able to go, and they're, like, keeping him involved in their, like, D&D
Wait, so Giuseppe's the man who's married?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought Terry was married. Okay,
oh, so... Terry's married, too, but that's Pat Shotton. Terry's wife's been in the group this whole time.
Okay. So, but Giuseppe, he's married and he can't get out. So, trying to include him because, all right, I'm all right with that.
You know what? Honestly, take it as a hint, man. I dated a girl who wouldn't LARP with me, and it just wouldn't work out. So, like, you
right?
just gotta find somebody to go with
what?
You.
Right? Why wouldn't she LARP with you?
She's not into it. Too nerdy.
Damn.
So it didn't work, dude. You know.
Yeah.
That was years
anyway,
ago.
Anyway, don't worry about that anymore. What matters
you
now?
Thrown beanbags
that...
at her and been like, lightning bolt.
Yeah. I didn't play a magic user at a foam sword, okay? And I was like a knight or something. All right.
Throw
Have you seen my LARPing
at it.
Pictures before? Have
Love
you seen
spell.
My LARPing pictures before?
Love spell.
I'll get. Okay, continue.
Anyway, that doesn't matter. What does matter is that when he gets to Pat and Terry's house that evening around 7:30 p.m., they tell Joe that a few nights ago. By the way, Joe and Giuseppe, same guy. We are all clear on this.
Yes, Joe and Giuseppe, same guy. Just pick a name, asshole.
I just like that it's both names. They tell Joe that a few nights ago, Gaynor and Graham arrived. Don't know what they're doing alone together. Talking about some kind of test that was going to appear near the well where they all got their stones at the end of last year. Oh my God, what is this?
Mathis just sent us a picture of him LARPing, and I just... What's even more funny is you tagged Nika Harper. Nika. Shout out
to Nika. This is from 2017, and we were doing a vampire show, Twitch vampire, like TTRPG show, and me LARPing came up, and I was like, oh, I'll just post a picture on Twitter for you and tag you.
You look like a fifth grade boy giving his like Paul Revere report.
Oh, yeah, how old do you think I am there?
I know that you're probably like 17.
26.
Jesse's
the closest. Like, I'm like 21, maybe?
Yeah.
You are a baby face, a sweet little baby face boy.
That's why I don't ever shave this fully. The beard is here for a reason.
I love you. Got to take that beard off. We got to use it.
Oh,
God.
Yeah. Okay. If we can hit like fucking like 25 grand on Patreon, I'll fucking take the beard off. I don't give a damn.
All right, you heard
that's
the,
your
you
that's
heard
your 25,000. No, damn. you gotta shave your full
I don't
body.
Think we're gonna, are you kidding me? You think we will hit 25k just for that? No way in hell.
I'm gonna
get
off the phone. I'm gonna
shave
be like,
your
guys,
full body.
You'll never guess what happened on the Patreon.
That's fine. All I have to shave is my head and my beard. I got no hair anywhere else. Boy, I'm a very smooth baby.
I don't want to think about that for one more second. I'm thinking about powder now. All right. Anyway, Gaynor and Graham are there. They're like, there's tests coming. They're like, there's going to be tests, and we have to go over by that well again where the stones came from last time. So sure enough, when they go over to the top of the garden, something had indeed appeared there. Getting closer to the shape, they saw it was a black box of indeterminate make, 15 by 12 inches, 4 inches deep. They had the psychic impression that they had to drive back to Marion and Gaynor's. Before they opened the box... But it was while Joe was at work, and they couldn't wait, so they opened the box without him. Terry tells him this, and he's like, fucking work. And he's like, hey, buddy, it's okay. That literally happens. So they opened the box without him.
They make meds for it now.
Yeah. Inside the box, beneath a few layers of black tissue paper, were 11 thick, brown, numbered envelopes, each containing a separate test for each member of the group. Terry opens his and discovered a pound coin, which he had to turn into 1,000 pounds by the end of the month. And Pat opens hers to find a pen with which she has a month to learn automatic writing with. But back in the present, having a little drink with the Shottens, Giuseppe had yet to open his, And now Terry handed him his envelope, telling him that so far, the only thing any of these individual tests have in common was that they all had to be done by the end of the month, much faster than these mysteries usually take on this in this world. Inside the larger brown envelope marked with zero, which was Joe's envelope, he found a smaller, almost see-through turquoise envelope and an old pre-war tariff card for some place called the Tower Hotel. That seemed to be located in a place called, Portinscale, maybe? Portinscale? Which was near a place called Keswick? I don't know. I'm sorry, London, England. I'm sorry. I don't know all the tube names in London. I can't name. I always mess up and I get ridiculed. So I apologize to the entire United Kingdom.
You know, it's going
to
sound nothing like what you just said, right?
It's going to be like Curlin.
It's
spelled Keswick in if you pronounce it like somebody who doesn't know how to pronounce it. Keswick is my guess. He knew it was old because it said breakfast was 2 shillings and 6 pence in old money. Yesterday, I saw that a single McDonald's hash brown was $4.29 on DoorDash. You do the math. As he delicately opened the turquoise envelope, careful not to tear it, he pulled out a folded slip of paper inside and written on it in neat ornamental handwriting that kind of looked like the elvish script from Lord of the Rings. All it said was, cool. All it said was, solve the mystery of the Tower Hotel. After chatting a little bit about how none of them had any idea how they were going to proceed, Giuseppe said his goodbyes, hopped in his car, and with knowledge that this had to be taken care of on his own, he drove home. But when he got there, he made what I believe to be the single greatest decision that he's made since the beginning of this adventure. Do you guys know what it was? He told his wife what happened.
It's a me answer, Jesse.
Got her involved.
Hey, welcome aboard, lady.
He told his wife what happened, and he got her involved.
You were right. Yeah. God damn it. I hate you.
I told you. He even calls a little attention to it when he says, quote, "Does it still exist?" she inquired, for once seeming to take an interest in what I had become involved with. He says, for once. Together they decided to dial directory inquiries to see if the place still existed, and when it turned out it did, Joe decided his first step on this new solo adventure would be to go check it out, and his wife Eileen asked if she could come too. And now, fellas, we got a marriage healing husband and wife road movie on our hands.
Let's go.
To be continued in the next minisode.
Thank you, everybody, for supporting us here at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. We love you. And we'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.